you long to read about people that were disabled or had some kind of...
Yeah, I'm going to write a book like that.
Welcome to Radio Free School.
Four poems from the book Hey World, Here I Am by Jean Little, illustrations by Sue Truesdale. This is about Kate Bloomfield. It's her poems. But if you read Books from My Window, then you'll find out who Kate Bloomfield really is. Okay. Hey world, here I am. I said to the world, I've arrived. I, Kate Bloomfield, have come at last. The world paid no attention. I said to the world, hey world, here I am. Don't you understand? It's me, Kate Bloomfield. The world ignored me. I took myself into a corner. Guess what? I whispered. I made it, you know. Kate Bloomfield. Myself bellowed, yay, Kate! And spun six somersaults up in the middle of Main Street. The world turned. What did you say? Said the world. I paid no attention. After all, I gave it its chance. It's not my fault that it missed me. Now the second one's today. Today I will not live up to my potential. Today I will not relate to my peer group. Today I will not contribute in class. I will not volunteer one thing. Today I will not strive to do better. Today I will not achieve or adjust or grow enriched or get involved. I will not put up my hand even if the teacher is wrong and I can prove it. Today I might eat the eraser off my pencil. I'll look at clouds. I'll be late. I don't think I'll wash. I need a rest. Now the third one's wars. When I was in grade 2, I said to my father, I think wars are wrong. People should be told to stop all this fighting right now. If I were crowned queen of the world, I'd make wars against the law. My father said I had something there, but he didn't seem terribly excited. I could not understand him. Then I went upstairs and caught my sister Marilyn playing with my new paper dolls without my permission. We had a war. So I'm proud. Our history teacher says, be proud you're Canadians. My father says, you can be proud you're Jewish. My mother says, stand up straight, Kate. Be proud you're tall. So I'm proud. But what I want to know is, when did I have a chance to be Norwegian? Or Buddhist, or short.
You've been reading a lot of Jean Little. What do you think? What do you like about Jean Little, first of all? Her books.
Oh, they're just good.
Well, I'll tell you what I like about them. The characters are really complex, right?
They're not trusting.
Yeah, they're not just
all perfect.
That's right, Madeline. Exactly.
Like Nancy Drew. She's all perfect.
These people are not perfect. They're not physically perfect either, are they? Do you want to talk about Anna? How does Anna look like? From Anna.
What about her?
Well, what kind of kid was she considered?
Dumb and ugly, and
sick. She can't do anything. Also, she was considered by her brother and sister.
Mm-hmm. Prickly, you say of her?
Yes.
Because she has problems with her eyes.
She was nearly blind, right?
Mm-hmm. They didn't know.
What other Jean Little books have you read? A Place to Grow On, something like that? The Belonging Place?
Mm-hmm.
Do you like Jean Little books?
Mm-hmm. They're just good.
How are the characters in the books? How about Lisa in that book, A Place to Grow?
She did make the story more fun.
She did make it more fun?
Yeah. Because it's good to have some bad mean characters and stories.
One to Grow On. There's a girl called Janie. Her real name is Stephanie, but her middle name is Janie. She meets a girl at Sunday school called Lisa Daniels. And Lisa is a liar and so is Janie. Janie stops lying, but Lisa doesn't. The first lie, Lisa requests to come over to Janie's house, so Janie lets her on Sunday evening. So Lisa comes over. She says that her father wrote a song called Walk Me to the Corner. I'm not sure if it's a real song, but it's called that. And Janie's brother, Rob, he listens to that song and he said it wasn't Lisa's father. So she told the first lie. Then there's two other girls, Pam and Debbie, that Lisa was walking with, along with Janie as well. So Janie thinks that Janie is a baby name, so she wants Lisa to call her Stephanie. But then Debbie said she wanted a nickname because Stephanie was too long. So she said Steffi, and then Lisa said, how about Stuffy?
So basically, Lisa is not a very nice girl, right?
No. But then she gets nice.
Does she get nicer? Or do they just learn to be friends?
They get nicer. She gets nicer. Well, even this is how they became friends. They were in the boat at Tilly's, her godmother, Matilda. And so it's Janie's godmother, so Tilly buys a piece of land. So they're on the land, and Lisa's there too. And they're in the boat, and they're talking about cooking. It's just Janie and Lisa. And then Janie said, once I put sugar in my father's chicken soup. And then Lisa started laughing, and they both started laughing.
Just talk about some of the books, the characters. How are they? You started saying that they're not perfect, right? That you liked it.
Yeah, because like Nancy Drew, that book, Nancy's all perfect. She's really pretty. And, oh yeah, she's perfect. She's really rich. Their front lawn is so big that an airplane can land on it. Because it did once.
Okay, but how about the character? It's like, is Nancy Drew a perfect character?
Yes.
And how about in that Jean Little? The characters in the genius, like from Anna. Anna.
Mm-hmm. Anna's not perfect. She's got bad eyesight.
And she thinks her family doesn't love her either.
Mm-hmm. But they do.
And how about the other one, Kate Bloomfield, in that book? What's it called? Mind for Keeps?
Look from My Window.
Look from My Window. What does she think of her parents?
She thinks they don't love her.
Psychological thing, aspects to it, isn't there?
Hey, what does that mean?
What does that mean? Mm-hmm. It just means like it's not so straightforward. The characters are really multi-layered. Like people, like real people.
Mm-hmm, real people, not perfectly Nancy Drew. Her dad's a lawyer, so they get lots of money.
By Little and Stars Come Out Within by Jean Little. They're her biographies, because I guess they wouldn't fit into one book. Well, she was born in Taiwan, I think. Yeah, Taiwan, and to Canadian parents.
Mm-hmm.
And she actually wrote a book about her mom's life, so. And then, of course, it carried on. Well, she had to have this one eye removed because she got this disease in it, in her left eye, which was already her worst eye, her bad eye. So her better eye was her right eye, and she still couldn't see well with that one either. But so then they ended up removing it, and she has a plastic eye. She can see color and lines, teeny bit of shapes and stuff, enough to make her way about. But she has a CNI dog.
At one point, she was trying to write a book independently, right? What did you said that she was
she was taping it, She was using tapes and she was taping it on there and she couldn't go over because the tapes weren't free. She couldn't go over the things and insert her voice inside them. So she would have to go, if she made one mistake, she'd have to make an entirely new tape. Mm-hmm. She's got a talking computer. Probably much better than a braille typewriter anyway.
One thing that you said about the characters in the story, like the man and the scene, that they're not perfect. And I think
that's what I like.
You always liked it.
I hate it when characters are perfect. That's what I hate about Nancy Drew. The Hardy Boys are all right, but even they're not so great.
My dad used to be insane about them, though.
You long to read about people that were disabled or had some kind of...
Yeah, I'm going to write a book like that. So I like reading about that kind of stuff.
Some other characters, like, you know, in her books, the kids are maybe disabled or they're, like, something's wrong with the one guy. What was it again? Was it?
Pickwing.
Pickwing, the boyhood.
But he wasn't the main character. No. Well, Ross was.
Mm-hmm. And she was different, too.
Yeah, kind of. But she didn't have it. She had bad eyes, but not very bad. Mm-hmm. She had glasses made her eyes perfectly all right.
All the books that Jamie writes, the characters are so
different.
They have different layers.
Yeah.
Like, and people that are presented as maybe not very nice, they actually do have nice qualities. Like, Rudy, he kind of was all mean when he was small, right? But then he still had nice qualities when he got older, he was nicer.
Yeah, it's like Lord of the Rings. They don't have everyone perfect.
Yeah.
They have their faults and stuff where they fight and then...
There's a lot of doubting and guessing. You're thinking, is that person thinking that? And they're, you know, like, what was that book where the one girl's thinking? I think it was Laura Ross, right?
Yeah.
Well, she wasn't sure about her cousin, and her cousin wasn't sure about her.
Yeah,
and they were kind of like, they wanted to be friends, but they had this misunderstanding.
And they had this fight, and they just by the way they interpreted each other's words, and they wouldn't talk to each other. Yeah. Because they thought they didn't like it, that each other didn't like each other because the way they were talking to each other.
Well, Anna, who thought that her family was kind of thought, took her as to be the dummy.
Yeah.
But at the same time, they did love her, they did watch out for her.
Well, they're just really good because they're people are interesting. It's very rare to find a book like that where people are interesting but not perfect. They're not able to do everything and they have troubles and you have to be able to actually work through them.
They're not resolved immediately, they really take time. And sometimes they're not resolved at all. But they're still like, I mean, I'm thinking that girl in the book, Lisa, she's not a very nice character. Right? She's a liar.
Yeah, I'm still reading that book. Or Sally Copeland, she's got cerebral palsy. And so she's on crutches.
Mm-hmm.
Her name actually comes up in One to Grow On.
Okay.
So she's disabled. She's got a motor handicap. Mm. She has to walk on crutches and she can't use her hands very well.
Mm.
Or talk easily. So she talked pretty well, though, because she was able... That wasn't her main problem.
Mm-hmm.
It was mostly her legs.
Yeah. Well, how about just... There's a lot about family, like, dynamics. Family dynamics, which are not always clear. Like, for instance, Kate Bloomfield, right? Who thinks that her mom didn't want her, right?
But they do.
I know. But she really believed at the point that they didn't, right?
I know. She's so silly.
Mm, lots and lots of books, eh? How many books has she written? I don't know.
About 50 or something. Mm. I don't know. She's written a lot. They're really good.
Say about the things that you do. You're telling your love lies about the good things that we can have if we close our eyes. Do what you want to do and go where you're going to. Think for yourself, 'cause I won't be there with you. Rectify all the things that you should. Do what you want to do and go where you're going to. Think for yourself, 'cause I won't be there with you. want to do, and go where you're going to. Think for yourself, cause I will be there with you. Think for yourself, cause I will be there with you.
You are listening to Radio Free School on CFM.
I learned that policemen are my friends. I learned that justice never ends.
Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM, 97.9 FM, and Fredericton, New Brunswick.
What did you learn in school today, dear little boy of mine? What did you learn in school today, dear little boy?
This is from Education of the Young, New Reformation, Notes of a Neolithic Conservative, Paul Goodman. To be educated well or badly, to learn by long process, to cope with the physical environment and the culture of one society, is part of the human condition, and in every society, the education of the children is of the highest importance. But in all societies, both primitive and highly civilized, until quite recently, most education of most children has occurred incidentally, not in schools set aside for the purpose. Adults did their economic work and other social tasks. Children were not excluded, were paid attention to, and learned to be included. The children were not formally taught. In many adult institutions, incidental education has always been taken for granted as an essential part of the functioning. Example, in families and age peer groups, community labor, master-apprentice arrangements, games and plays, and religious rites. In Greek, paideia, the entire network of institutions, the polis was thought of as an educator. As John Dewey beautifully put it, the essence of all philosophy is the philosophy of education, the study of how to have a world. By and large, though not for all topics and all persons, the incidental process of education suits the nature of learning better than formal teaching. The young see real causes and effects rather than pedagogic exercises. Reality is often complex, but the young incidental learner, of whom not too much is expected, can take it by his own handle, at his own time, according to his own interest and initiative, and he can imitate, identify, be approved or disapproved, cooperate and compete, without the embarrassment and sometimes chilling anxiety of being the center of attention and demand. Though there is socialization with less resentment, fear or submission, the archetype of successful education is infants learning to speak, a formidable intellectual achievement that is universally accomplished. We do not know how it is done, but the main conditions seem to be the incidental process we have been describing. Along with incidental education, however, most societies also have institutions specifically devoted to teaching the young, such are identity rites, catechism, nurses and pedagogues, youth houses, formal schooling. I think there is usually a peculiar aspect to what is learned by such means rather than picked up incidentally, and we must ask further about this. But let me emphasize strongly and repeatedly that it is only in the last century in industrialized countries that the majority of children have gotten much formal teaching at all, and it is only in the past few decades that formal schooling has been massively extended into adolescence and further. In the United States in 1900, only 6% went through high school and 0.25% through college, yet now formal schooling has taken over, well or badly, very much of the more natural incidental education of most other institutions. This may or may not be necessary, but it has consequences. The other institutions and the adults in them have correspondingly lost touch with the young, and the young do not know the adults in their chief activities. We saw in the last chapter, for instance, how the professions have vanished from reality for the young, even though academic schooling is aimed toward the professions. Like the jails and insane asylums, schools isolate society from its problems, whether preventing crime, curing mental disease, or bringing up the young. And conversely, to a remarkable degree, vital functions of growing up have become hermetically redefined in school terms. Being a good citizen is doing homework. Apprenticeship is passing tests for jobs in the distant future. Sexual initiation is high school dating. Rites of passage are getting diplomas. Crime is breaking school windows and rebellion is sitting on the dean. In the absence of adult culture, there develops a youth subculture. Usually, there has been a rough distinction in content in what is learned between incidental education and intentional pedagogy. Social business that does not exclude children tends to be matter of fact, and children taking part without anxiety can be objective about it, if not critical. But intentional pedagogy, whether directed by elders, priests, or academics, has to do with what is not evident in ordinary affairs. It teaches what is more scholarly, abstract, intangible, or mysterious, and the learner, as the center of attention and demand, is under personal pressure. All social activities socializes its participants, but pedagogy socializes deliberately according to principles, and it has stricter standards, often tested and graded, instilling the morals and habits which are the social bonds. And this is how Goodman reflects on reformation of education, thinking about education. Incidental education taking part in the ongoing activities of society must again be made the chief means of learning and teaching. 2. Most high schools should be eliminated, with other kinds of youth communities taking over their sociable functions. 3. College training should generally follow rather than precede entry into the professions. 4. The chief occupation of educators should be to see to it that the activities of society provide incidental education rather than exploitation or neglect. If necessary, we must invent new useful activities that offer educational opportunities. 5. The purpose of elementary pedagogy through age 12 should be to delay socialization to protect children's free growth, since our families and community both pressure them too much and do not attend to them enough. Modern times pollute and waste natural human resources, the growing children, just as they do the land, air, and water. What else could one expect?
How do you like school, Billy?
Up in the morning and out to school, Mother says there'll be no work next year. Qualifications, what's the golden rule? And now just pieces of paper. Just because you're better than me doesn't mean I'm lazy. Just because you're going forwards doesn't mean I'm going backwards. If you look the part, you'll get the job. And last year's trousers and your old school shoes. To be sad, it's a buyer's market. They can't afford to pick and choose. Just because you're better than me doesn't mean I'm lazy. Just because I dress like this doesn't mean I'm a communist. At 16 you were top of your class. All they taught you at school was how to be a good worker. System has failed, you don't fail yourself. Just because you're better than me doesn't mean I'm lazy. Just because you're going forwards doesn't mean I'm going backwards.
I'm Noam Chomsky, you're listening to CFMU 93.3.
You can read, go ahead.
Goldilocks and the Three Bears, Part 1. Oh, look, a little house. Hello, hello, is anybody home? Nobody home. Look, three chairs and three balls. This chair is too hard. This chair is too soft. This chair is just right. Oh no, the chair broke. Look, porridge. Oh, this porridge is too hot. Ugh, this porridge is too cold. This porridge is just right. I'm sleepy. Look, three beds. This bed is too hard. This bed is too soft. This bed is just right. Good night. I want my porridge now. Somebody's been sitting in my chair. Somebody's been sitting in my chair. Somebody was sitting in my chair and it broke. Somebody was eating my porridge. Somebody was eating my porridge. Somebody was eating my porridge and now it's all gone. Look, somebody was sleeping in my bed. Somebody was sleeping in my bed. Somebody was sleeping in my bed. And there she is now. Oh no. Goodbye, the end.
Hi, I'm Madeline. And just last Thursday, I had a synchro competition. Synchro is for synchronized in the water. Synchro is like people in the water. Well, it's not really like dancing.
It's like a dance.
It's not, because dancing is more like on your feet and then you're like floating in the water and synchro.
But you're still dancing. You're doing movement, aren't you?
Choreography.
Yeah, there's music. Well, you're floating on the surface and doing, like, fancy stuff in the water. You're synchronized. It means you're going, like, together. It's a group of people. Our team won out of our age category, 10 and under. And even though other teams didn't win, they still got medals. Everyone got medals. There's a whole table. On the medal it says, Hamilton Routine Mate 2006. They put Knox hair gel in our hair. I mean, Knox gelatin, that's not for hair, it's for cooking, food, baking.
Mm-hmm.
And our hair felt plastic, and you have to wash it out. Lots of shampoo and conditioner, and it gets everywhere, and it drips down your head, and you get it at the grocery store, and usually you get it in the Jell-O section. You look for a knot.
So do boys do this too?
No, it's just a girl's thing.
Yeah, boys never do it.
No, not in our, like, not anywhere. All the teams and the things that came to Hill Park Pool for the competition, there were no boys in the synchro. And all the instructors are girls. It's not really like ballet. You have to be graceful, but it's not exactly like ballet. It's not like kick your leg up in the air. You're not standing in the water. You're floating.
Yeah, but you still kick your leg up a lot.
But you're not like dancing with anyone or...
That's not what ballet is.
But sometimes I see people being held up by other people.
Mm-hmm. Each team has their own bathing suit for the thing. It was a turquoise bathing suit with a butterfly on the chest. Butterfly print on the chest. We wore straw hats. And then when it was time for us to get in the water after we did our land things at the competition, and then we threw the hats off. And then the song we were doing our synchro to was called
low rider. Low rider.
I'm gonna wrap myself in paper. I'm gonna daub myself with glue. Stick some stamps on the top of my head. I'm gonna mail myself to you.
Contact Radio Free School at grassroots@hwcn.org or mail P.O. Box 19, 1280 Main Street West, Hamilton, Ontario, Canada, L8S1CO.